And we are rolling.
Welcome. Was I supposed to do the intro, Mark?
I mean, I can do it. You can do it. Willie?
All right, we're doing
Willie
it.
Willie Wilcox?
I'm doing it any given Monday. Willie will do it.
We'll do it. Welcome to the show.
We, well, any given Monday, Masters Monday, you'll be listening this on Tuesday, and we are joined by the great Willie Wilcox, who is on the bag for the Prince, Sung Jae.
The Prince. That's Willie, really catching on.
It is. It really is. I believe you've given your player a nickname. Might be a first. Might be a first.
Hey, I just, after or having worked for him now for 9-10 months, it's funny. He likes everything done just so, and he likes to have it that way, and I'm more than happy to do that. It's just cool to have the opportunity, and I'm I don't know if I'm a fan first or a caddy first, but I'm definitely a fan of Sung Jae.
Mark, yeah. Fire away.
Well, you're also joined by the very not great, somewhat mediocre Mark Baldwin, co-hosting.
Oh, hush.
I wasn't introduced. I feel a little left out. Yeah. But you know who is a huge fan of Willie Wilcox besides me and Ryan French is Sung Jae Im. He might be a bigger fan of you than you are of him.
He's been really cool, man. Like you hit skip shot on 16. He was like, here's 5-iron, hit skip.
Come on, did you get to hit one?
Yeah, yeah. And somebody goes, I don't think any other caddies hit shots today. but Sung Jae, he just pulled his phone out and he's just wanting a video. And one of his team members is here this week. The guy is. He's 42 and he's a successful Korean business dude. He's got the like number one, whatever, something healthcare. I'm sorry. I just blanked on it. But anyways, he's his life coach and he went out of his way to come tell me that, Sung Jae, he says, Sung Jae likes you very much. And I was like, I like him very much.
How did the skip shot go?
Pretty good. It was better than, Sung Jae's and Adams.
Nice. Willie, let's go back to the
Adams. That's Adam's recollection.
Let's just clarify. That's Adam Shank, who we have on the podcast today. He did an interview with us earlier, and we will be teeing that one up later. So you can provide the perfect segue by telling us all about the back nine that you played with him today.
It was pretty awesome. He was trying a couple different drivers, but he really started to hammer him at the end. And, his caddy was saying how he just didn't really have much good, like ball striking last week and they finished fifth. They were like, he just putted and chipped really well. I'm like, I bet he hit some pretty good shots too. I mean, you know, that was probably a $650,000 week. So anyhow, Adam's cool as hell. He's very interactive with the fans, which they like a lot. And yeah, he's cool.
Willie, when you stepped onto Augusta, you have a better understanding than any golf fan, obviously caddy, but played for years on tour. Like how does it compare to other courses? Is it as great as we all build it up to?
It is. And the whole mystery around it is wild. And I didn't read all the information and guidelines and bylaws, but you can just like feel it out there. You know what I mean? Obviously the cell phone thing is huge, but I've just never seen a place so perfect. The edging on the bunkers is crazy. The condition of the grass, just how you can see the golf course and the way it kind of echoes. And, obviously it's an Alistair McKenzie. It's just perfect. And the way you get treated and just the atmosphere, how there's no other people other than caddies and players out there. And there's, 30,000 people or whatever it was. There's tons of people there. It feels weird being out there because normally there's like a couple of coaches, there's some reps running around. I mean, the reps, I don't think are allowed on the range. So it's just player, caddy, go. And there's like maybe one player support person, but most groups it's just player, caddy. So yeah, it is way, way different. It feels like you go back in time without everybody staring at their phones. It's really fascinating to be in the middle of a big group of people and no one is looking at their phone. I think that's one of the coolest parts now, because everywhere you go, you're just like, look at these idiots looking at their phones. And then I'm like, oh shit, I've been looking at my phone the last 10 minutes.
I just did a story about a kid who knocked himself out of a tournament running into a tree.
Yeah. I said that to someone today, cause we were walking under one of those little oak trees to go from like the clubhouse to the 10th tee, and I walked by this limb and I was like, I was reading that Ryan wrote that today. I was like, I almost knocked myself out, just like you said in that article.
Willie, how is Ryan gonna do with no phone? I mean, he has to have his phone.
That's true. That's
with
true.
Him 24/7. Anxiety.
You're gonna feel anxiety. Weird.
I have anxiety about the anxiety I'm gonna have on Thursday.
Yeah, and you're gonna be like running back to your car when you get out of the gate. When are you coming? What day are you coming?
Thursday and Saturday.
Nice, nice. Yeah. You're bringing Miss Monday Q, right?
On Saturday, yeah.
Nah, that's sick. Well, it is. It's really fun, and what an honor. Shit.
Willie, take us back through the last couple of days. Start with your anticipation, building it up, and then when you arrived. This weekend, you got there early. What has the last couple of days been like?
Pretty amazing. I mean, I know I've been wearing that big old jumpsuit the whole time. It was wild to get ushered in by. So I went to like gate 8 or something. I didn't know what I was doing. I just went to where I've always gone when I parked. And so I just pulled up to a cop, and I was just like, I'm caddying for Sung JM. And the guy goes, Willie Wilcox. It was like the state trooper. And I was just like, oh yeah. And he was just, hang on one second. He's like,
he remembered you.
Went on the walkie talkie. And then this Mercedes-Benz SUV just comes. I swear that thing was there in like 90 seconds. You know, like, cause I didn't know how to get in. And so this SUV comes up and then it's like, follow me. So then I got to follow him into the gate and we went, he took me to where my parking was, and I actually parked like inside the gate, but it was cool getting to drive around inside Augusta following that guy. Because you're like the only people in there, but yeah, I've been hanging out. Like today I got there at 7 a.m. just left 45 minutes ago. It's like a dream, you know, it's fantasy land, and just getting to walk around out there. Oh, the books aren't very good. The books are, you don't get all the slopes, so you got to go out and shoot the slopes. So I've just been walking around the course. I've already walked 36 holes out there.
And that is a tough walk, like, right?
Not for me. I've been doing this for a year and a half now. Like I guess it is tough, but like Kapalua and Torrey North and friggin' Spy Pebble, they're all way harder.
Yeah, I mean, what am I saying? You're seeing Augusta for the first time as an active participant inside the ropes. You should be able to run up Mount Fuji right now.
Yeah, I think I could. I feel pretty good, and it's just like running around at full sprint. I really didn't enjoy these last 2 weeks not working. I've decided I'm not gonna take any more weeks off. I feel way better caddying, but yeah, anyways, the last 2 days have been a dream world, and it's still only Monday, so we got two more full days and those are gonna be epic. And my friends start showing up tomorrow. I had a Monday ticket that went to waste today, which is sad. Yeah, but you can't, it's hard to get your friends to drive, you know, people that have kids and wives and stuff. It's not that easy. And jobs. Also, don't forget jobs. It's hard to get them to show up.
That's like
on Monday.
That's like watching $1,000 just burn.
It pretty much was. If I would have had it in hand when I had about an hour break when Sungjae was doing something, I would have definitely run outside and hawked it. But I didn't actually have it in my hand.
I don't think you're allowed to say that out loud. I think you might be arrested tomorrow as you walk into the gates.
Hey, keyword almost.
Yeah, almost. Willie, you touched on it a bit there, but this course is notoriously hard on rookies and those kind of things. Obviously, Slim J's been here before, but like from a caddying standpoint, he's walked 36 already. I assume you're just like, it's a course that just is going to be an extra work leading up to Thursday.
Well, it is because they want it to be. The books are, well, they change the course, every year. They do a little this, a little that. Six, they added another pin placement, I think. And even just like little subtle changes like right of two. Yeah, they made an extra little part on two. They put the 40 yards farther back on 13. And I can't think of anything else. But anyway, so the way so many approach shots are very steep, the tee shots don't seem to be too crazy other than like the obvious ones, like 10, 2. But 11 might go pretty far. But you just got to do a lot of work. And the way the greens are pitched, like 9 is such a severe slope. On the front from certain parts, it might be up 1. And then to the back, it could be up 3. Which is pretty wild. Same hole, same green, and you got a different slope from the same spot. But, we're doing meters. We're doing meters. So I had to go out there and mark all the heads in my book because you don't want to have to do the least amount of conversion in the moment, the better, obviously. And so I've had to do a bunch of, like, if we were yards, it wouldn't be that bad. But we're not. So I got to do a bunch of stuff.
What surprised you the most about the golf course watching it over the years? I mean, I'm sure you've dreamed about being there as well. There must have been times in your career when you were like, man, if I can just get this in the house, like I might have a chance to play at Augusta. But like, what really surprised you about actually being there versus all of the time in the past of thinking about it?
What surprised me? Let's see. Just how exclusive it is. I mean, it's just such a – as you're watching it, you're like, these literally are – they've mastered the sport. I mean, let's see. When we were on the range today, it goes – this is at the end of the day. It goes Patrick Reed, Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler, Sungjae, John Rahm, Jason Day, Joaquin Neiman, Nick Dunlap. It's just the right. And then this morning when I got there, I was there way before Sungjae, and Tiger was on the range for 30 minutes. And I mean, yeah, it's the absolute cream of the crop, obviously. I mean, what a massive accomplishment. I mean, for the caddies too. The people yell at you a lot more because there's only me and Sungjae out there. So there's only two people that they can choose to yell at instead of, talking to a volunteer or something. But anyways, if the people are looking at you just like, I mean, I remember the way I was looking at when I was a kid or an adult, looking at the players and caddies. And I just was like, even to be a caddy, this is just such a sick accomplishment. So yeah, it really feels like I accomplished something. I didn't get fired on the West Coast or in Florida or last year. So if I could make it to here, I've just been saying like, don't get fired for Augusta. Don't get fired for Augusta. And I didn't. So,
and this is for those listening that don't know Sungjae, this is by far the longest Sungjae I think has had a caddy in his entire career. So it speaks to,
you can just see Willie clam up when you say that. You can see kind of the fight or flight response there.
Yeah. It's very impressive.
Yeah. So Billy lasted for like a year and a half. Okay. Yeah, Billy lasts for a year and a half. He's working for Lonto. But yeah, anyways, it's what a dream. I mean, it's just perfect. The food's great. I mean, it's just like so buttoned up. You feel like you're in Fort Knox. I mean, there's so much security. It's just crazy. And, but when you're wearing that bib, everybody's just like, hello. So, I can't believe I get to do it 6 more times potentially.
Amazing.
Willie, are you able to enjoy this? Like, you have a job to do, obviously, but are you able to kind of take a moment and go like, man, this has been a good ride and I'm doing things right and I have a great job and now I'm at the Masters. Are you able to kind of take a step back for a minute?
Oh yeah. I feel like to earn Sungjae's trust enough to where he did bring me to the Masters as a first time caddy at the Masters. Like, I'm sure there's a pool of 50 guys he could ask to caddy for him at the Masters that have caddied way more at Augusta than I have. So that shows how much trust he has in me. And I mean, obviously he told his dude to tell me how much, cause he speaks better English. I really do feel like I accomplished a lot because anyways, the way Sungjae's treating me, very respectful, very cool. You know, it's just an honor to get to work for somebody as good as him. And he's starting to hit it really good too, by the way. But, yes, the whole time, normally I would be more stressed, but at the Masters, you've accomplished something to get there even as a caddy. So honestly, he's just being really, really cool to me this week. So that's making it a lot easier to look around. And even though I'm super focused on if he needs anything, but he's the way some guys treat me, like some weeks, even though it's like at Riviera, he was struggling that week. So it was hard to look around and think, this is sick, I'm at Riviera. This week, he's being super, super nice to me and cool, which he has been the last, like, whatever. And it makes the whole situation, the stress level just go way down. And so what a good week for that stress level to go down.
Yeah, dream week. Willie, you have accomplished so much, and you've been through a lot. I'm really proud of you that you're here and you're kicking ass, man. It's awesome and it's inspiring to see. Do you feel like you and Sungjae are at a point now where, you know, there are, I was talking to a player recently who just, he's brought on a new caddy and he just said, you know, what I need is like, I need somebody to not agree with me all the time. I need somebody, if I'm like zigging, sometimes I need them to zag. I need to know that they can affirm. They need to know when to affirm the things I say. And they need to know, you know, if they are not totally agreeing with my decision-making, I need them to speak up, but I need them to speak up in a way that doesn't like challenge my conception of and belief in myself. And that requires a certain amount of skill. And it takes time to get to that point, right? And do you feel like, you know, you're at that perfect point where you can read Sungjae really well and you kind of know what he needs in the perfect moments?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about, you can really deflect a lot of frustration from your player when the phrasing is good. But, you know, I think honestly, sometimes maybe he did it consciously, I don't know, but he'd be like 4-iron. And when it like definitely wasn't a 4-iron, and he just wanted me to be like, what? I think he just wants me to catch it sometimes. And if I just catch it that one time, and I've done that a fair amount of times, but I mean, sometimes you do need to be a yes man. Like you said, like being a yes man, that's good stuff, but it's at the right time. If you're a yes man all the time, then you're just not going to be working very long. But definitely. I've passed enough tests now. I've been able to keep him calm. I've been able to, when, you know, he's starting to kind of spiral and get frustrated, and then he'll turn that frustration at me. And then I'm able to show him that, hey, I'm a team player, bud. You know what I mean? I know you're pissed off at everything right now, but I'm still going to have your back. So, I've called him off quite a few shots and called him off reads. Not doing too many reads right now, but just because, you know, I don't think reading greens is necessarily going to like change someone's career. Yes, we are at a nice place, and I just hope, he starts getting some nice results, because that only helps my case. But I mean, you know, he hasn't had his best stuff this year, and he's still made like over $1 million. So, Yeah, I think there's a lot of checkpoints that have occurred over the last 20 events, and I guess it's been good enough to where he didn't want to can me before this week, so I'm just going to keep doing the same old thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, keep rolling with what got you there. When you look at this golf course, do you have an overwhelming desire to play it? I mean, would you just do anything to be hitting these shots, or are you pretty happy and content being the guy, the yardage consultant?
I really do prefer being the yardage consultant, I would say. I mean, yes, I would love to play it, but I'm looking forward to playing like the Charleston Muni coming up. I definitely want to play it. It takes a lot to play it though, and I'd have to, you just wonder like, how could I get on this course? And it'd be just meeting the right person. But then you'd have to play with a member and like, I don't know if it's my vibe. I just love golf course architecture, and obviously I've been watching this on TV since I was a kid. So yeah, I mean, when it comes to golf course architecture and just the way the land rolls and the way, the breaks, are, and just the slopes, and it's just perfectly thought out. And then obviously the condition of it. It is the cream of the golfing crop when it comes to, you got a lot better chance to play Cypress than here, or, something like that. Like, this is just a different air here. I swear, down on 13 green, like, it smells different. I swear, they're like, it's like being in the Sphere in Vegas. They're like pumping smells out or something. I swear.
What is it?
Cooler. The air was like ice. I swear, I could smell like...
I mean, we did have a solar eclipse today.
It was nice. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe the animals were emitting a different smell scent, but it was dope. I mean, we were on Amen Corner for that solar eclipse, so that's something I'm never going to forget.
Well, man, we're pulling for you this week. Tee up this interview that Ryan did with Adam. Just talk a little bit about his game. I know you already briefly touched on it. And then you guys joined up to play nine holes today. And then he's obviously been building some solid results here leading up to the Masters. So, kind of tell us about his game and what it looked like today.
Yeah. I mean, he was like almost a journeyman for a while, and now he's just gone skyrocket. His wife's cool. I know that. He's just a good old dude from the heartland, his family are farmers, and he stripes the ball. I mean, he's made just so much money in the last 2 years. But he was like kind of an outside the top 100 guy, and now he's just gotten to another level. But yeah, super cool dude. Played at Purdue. I mean, I know they're stoked about that game tonight. Jeez. It's a good thing that game was on Monday as opposed to Thursday for him, or Wednesday. But yeah, super cool. And like I said, his caddy was like, he didn't even have his best stuff and he finished top five. I do know that he is tired because that was a long weekend for him and everything. So hopefully he'll be rested up. But yeah, Shank's the man. He got here because of his top 50 in the world in December and finishing top 30, making it to the tour championship. So yeah, first Masters. I mean, good course for him too. He draws it nice.
All right. Willie, thank you for joining us, and we'll tee up that Adam Shank interview with Ryan French right now.
Adam, first Masters upcoming. I know it's Valero Texas week. Is it hard to not look past Valero this week, or is it like just part of the deal? You got to kind of keep it out of your mind for right now.
I mean, definitely excited. Very excited for next week. Got to play Augusta for the first time last Thursday. It was incredible, maybe even more incredible than everyone says. Everything was first class. I didn't realize how big the property was and how spread out and just how much room there was around some of the holes, but it was incredible. But I really like the Valero tournament. I love the golf course. I've played well here 3 or 4 years ago, maybe, and it should be a golf course that suits my game. So I would love to you know, play to my ability and have a chance in the back nine on Sunday, which is all you can ask for. Just need to go execute and do that now. But I really, really enjoy this tournament. It's one of my favorites all year.
Adam, I mean, Augusta is, as many people know listening, that hard, one of the hardest golf courses to learn. Rookies don't play well. What do you do different? What will you do differently that week? Or will you, won't you do anything different? Kind of just keep to your routine and try your best to learn the golf course.
Yeah, it's a great question. That's kind of what my caddy, Brett Swedberg, and I are trying to figure out now. It's just off the tee, I don't think it's as difficult as some other courses. But with that being said, into the greens are crazy. There's just certain spots in the greens where you just have to avoid, and you could be 20 feet from the hole, but it's the wrong side of the hole and two putting. Is it impossible, but there's going to be 12 feet of break. And if you hit it within, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 feet, that's an incredible putt. So just learning some of the areas that I really need to avoid around the greens and just some of the misses that I cannot have happen. For example, like hole 9, the front pin, you're hitting off a pretty good downslope from the fairway, but having a full wedge in, you just really have to take the spin off. If you miss right there, I think it's a fairly easy chip, but just learning that if there's a shot that you have coming into the greens, you cannot have spin on this ball, and you really have to select the right club and shot into the greens. That's kind of what I noticed the one time I played it.
Adam, do you lean on like veterans who have played there, maybe some of your friends who have played prior, or do you just try to stick to yourself? Again, it's I assume there's just a balance of doing overdoing it and trying to keep it as normal of a week as possible. How do you find that balance, and do you lean on other players in this case?
No, you're exactly right. It's definitely a balance. I've talked to a few players that have played there and just asked, you know, what are a couple of things you've learned about the golf course, you know, playing there 1 year, 2 years, or 10 years that you wish you would have known the first time? What are some of the mistakes you made your first year that, you know, you wish you would have known going into the tournament, or what would you apply when you play the Masters again? And I've got some really good feedback and got some good notes in the course. I need to talk to Corey Connors this week. Some good friends with him, and he's had, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 top tens there. Seems like he top tens every year. You know, decent chance to win. So he has a lot of knowledge. He's probably played there 40 times, it seems. So he's a great person to ask. Which I haven't yet. I probably should have already, but I'm going to pick his brain and get a few notes. But definitely, like you said, reaching out to some of the players that have played there many times. Just what would you tell someone their first time playing the Masters? You know, what would you wish you would have had someone tell you before your first tournament there? I think that, you know, those tips I've been given are invaluable. Sure, I can learn a lot about the golf course in 2 or 3 days, but trying to compete and learn against, or compete against someone who's, you know, been learning the golf course for 10 years is a tall task, but I think we're up for it. It hasn't been great to rookies, as you've said, but we'll prepare for a couple of days and give it our best go.
As a pro golfer, Adam, are you able to enjoy weeks like, I mean, obviously you haven't had the Masters experience, but when you go in there, will you be able to enjoy it if you don't play as well? Or is that not something that, I think it's easy for outsiders who have never been in that position like myself to say, oh, it's the Masters, you're going to enjoy it. But you're a competitor. This is your career. You want to play well. It's actually a pretty small field. A lot of FedEx Cup points available, all of those things. Can you enjoy it? Or do you just, I know it's not just another tournament, but can you enjoy it if you don't do the things that you want to do there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll be frustrated, of course, but I mean, for someone like myself, career grinder, as I always say, you know, getting to the Masters is incredible. It's incredibly hard. You have to win or finish top 30 FedEx Cup or be top 50. So luckily played great last year and knew I was in, but just the experience of getting to play the Masters, you know, I hope I get to play it 10 times, but getting to play it at least once, you know, I've been close sometimes, and I always wondered if I was ever going to get to play it, and just getting to play it one time, if I shoot 80, which I sure hope I don't, but I mean, anything's possible, right? It's it won't ruin the experience at all. I'll be disappointed in the way I played, but just getting to play in the Masters is in some sense a dream come true. And obviously that's realized. So now it's, you know, it's time to go play well, and I am going to try and win the golf tournament. But obviously it's a smaller field, but there's, you know, a lot of the best players in the world are there. It's a tall task being your first time there. I think Fuzzy Zeller's the only first time winner, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
So it has been done before. And if I have a chance to win the par three contest, I'm going to sure as hell do that. I'm not going to work out the last hole to not be, you know, the first person, you know, whoever I guess has won the par three contest has never won the tournament. But that'd be a cool title to have at least.
Do you do the same thing on like family and friends come in and kind of embrace it, Adam, instead of like, you know, on normal weeks you try your best, but this is such a special week. Obviously the goal is to be there every year, but as a golfer, you know that that's, you know, a precarious situation. So do you just kind of embrace it? Family comes and you guys just enjoy it as much as possible.
Yeah. So definitely going to be, I mean, just as big of a family experience for my family as it is for me. Like, it's cool to, you know, get to go watch someone from your family compete at the Masters. It's an experience altogether just to get to go to the Masters, let alone, you know, see someone in your family do it. So I'm sure that's going to be great and an awesome experience for all of us. But we're doing a dinner, I believe, Tuesday with everyone, and the par three contest, everyone will come out to that as well. And then we have a house rented just for, you know, me and my wife and our son, AJ. And our pup is joining us, so Bunker's going to make his first Masters appearance as well with the rest of us. And we'll just kind of, you know, pretty standard tournament procedures from there. Sticking, you know, I'll see family at the golf course and say hi afterwards, but then we'll kind of just go back and do a little bit of our own thing, you know, after each round.
Okay, last question, Adam. You called yourself a grinder. That's what I cover. Is there any part of you that is like, of all the majors this has, there's no such thing as an easy field, but the easiest field, it's a shorter field. Do you think about like, hey, I have an opportunity to like double the points or whatever the points are for majors? Do you think along those lines at all in this case?
I mean, not really. I would say that when you have the signature events or the majors, like, you have such a good opportunity. The players, I played well there. I finished 16th or 19th, I'm not sure, but I got 90 FedEx Cup points. So that was a huge week. So it's such a big advantage if you can play well. And, you know, you'd like to play well in all the big events, but if you can play well in, you know, one or two, really well in one or two, that puts you at such an advantage over, you know, someone that might not be in all those big events. I haven't taken advantage of the signature events at all this year. I think I missed the cut in two, and in Century I finished like 30th. So I've made most of my points in all the cut events. So I need to, at some point, play better in the signature events. But the Masters, can't think of a better place to start.
Awesome. Adam, thanks. I appreciate all your support. And your wife has been super supportive of my account. So might as well win this week and then win the Masters. I mean,
they're giving two trophies away. So I'll give it my best shot. Golf game feels okay. So we'll get the putter cooperating, and then we'll have something.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Thanks all for your time.
Absolutely. Have a good night. Take care.
And that was Adam Shank. I didn't catch the end of the Willie interview. I was getting Uber Eats. But Adam Shank talked about just being a rookie. And I thought it was great insight into, you know, him saying that even though he's a rookie and he knows rookies don't do well, he's got to block it out. Got to just go play. And he's going to soak it up. I love the fact that he's like going to play the par three contest, going to win it, not four putting on the last hole, not letting my kid hit it. You know, very much the journeyman mentality, Mark, of like, he believes he will be back here every year and also knows he might not ever be back here again. And so he's going to get the full Masters experience.
Yeah. And to your question about, you know, how do you prepare as a rookie? And rookies typically struggle the first time. There's so much institutional knowledge around Augusta. You feel like, you know, a journeyman player or somebody who is has won this event and come back year after year. Just all of the knowledge that you've accumulated year in and year out is so valuable and really kind of takes some pressure off the actual shots that you're hitting. Cause you just know, like Phil Mickelson talked about in his press conference last week about these really subtle things, like why certain shots are advantageous to lefties. And like, he talked about the 10th hole and how, if you short side yourself in the right bunker, you know, it's a really, really hard shot for a lefty because you get the green sloping right to left and you're going to hit a shot with some cut spin and it's going to chase away from you, versus being on the other side where you can play that cut shot into the slope and have it stop quick. So these are things that, you know, somebody like Adam, if he could play with a player who has all this institutional knowledge on Monday, Tuesday, obviously, you know, Sungjae may not be that guy, but maybe tomorrow he does. And that would be invaluable, it would seem to me, for somebody who come into this event for the first time.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it, obviously a little bit different because you just have so much information at your hands. He actually talked about playing with Corey. He said he's good friends with Corey Connors, who's played well here. He's going to pick a bunch of brains, and it's what you do nowadays. So, I mean, I can't wait to get to the Masters. It'll be my first Masters as a fan. Mrs. Monday Q is coming on Saturday. She never asked for anything golf related, and she's like, I'd like to go. So she's excited. And I had an adventure today.
You had an adventure. Tell us about your travel day to get to Augusta.
Yeah. So I don't know if people know, but I have ADHD, taking Adderall forever. And just the last couple of weeks have been, I mean, bad, like so bad to the point that I'm going to the doctor as soon as I get home, but I just cannot concentrate on anything and kind of all over the place. So it started this morning. I was leaving this morning from Alpena, and my wife said, can you go give me a Diet Coke at the gas station? That's literally 3 blocks down the road. I mean, it's a 30-second drive once you get in the car. Got there, didn't get her a Diet Coke, got myself a Red Bull, completely forgot about her Diet Coke, came home, grabbed my bags, left, took the keys to the car with me. So that's kind of where we're at, you know, as a – just a starting point. That's kind of a day to day. And Mrs. Monday Q, the most understanding woman ever, is just like, she knows where I'm at mentally. So she's just like, yeah, it's fine. No problem. We'll figure it out. We'll get the extra set. So then
we should say here, we should just, let me just chime in and just say, you've been working on this story.
Oh yeah.
Night and day, exhaustively.
Yes.
And you're kind of at your breaking point right now with this story, which we hope will drop next Wednesday, the Wednesday after the Masters.
Yes.
But we're not totally committed to that, but we're close. We're getting closer.
So yes.
So she's very understanding because of that.
Yeah. Sidebar of AD, the serious side of AD, not serious, but just like not the funny part of ADHD is like, you just get to the end of the day and you feel like you haven't accomplished anything. I've been working on this story that we've teased forever. And there's just times where you're just staring at the screen and you cannot get your thoughts together and your mind is going everywhere. And then you get done 5 hours sitting in front of your computer and you've written nothing. And some of the stuff you've written doesn't even make sense. It's just, it's what it is. So then anyway, so a fast forward today. So flights go good. I get to Atlanta, get my rental car. I have all my belongings, which is, when I'm in states like this, it's an accomplishment that I've left Atlanta and I still have everything. I have my wallet, whatever. Get in my rental car. Everything is going swimmingly. Great. I get to the checkout, like where they make sure that you actually, you know, are who you are. And she says, the lady says, Mr. French, this isn't the car you're supposed to have. So like, for the life of me, no idea. I must have gone like two over or something. But again, this is ADHD. Like I was probably on my phone more than likely, or trying to figure out where my hotel was or whatever. And
what were the vehicles? Just so everybody knows, just that you weren't trying to upgrade yourself.
No, it was just like Toyota Camrys in a row. You know, like okay. I got the lowest end, whatever it is.
Got it.
And so I don't even know what happened. So I go, I'm not sure. I don't know what to do. And she goes, well, I think this is the, you know, and so she does it. But that's just kind of where we're at. And then my phone wouldn't work after that for some reason. It just didn't have any reception. So things got a little squirrely for a minute. And like, you're when you have ADHD and you're just like, it's just everything's going really fast and you're everywhere. And so then I got to the hotel. No problem. We got there, found up, phone started working, get my card, go up to the room. And it is like, it's smoking the furnace, air conditioner slash. And I'm like, it smells like it's on fire. So back down. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And she sends Gus. Gus happened to be sitting there. That's why I know his name. They sent Gus up to 417 to see if the thing's on fire. It's not. I get 307. I hear the TV on in 307 and the doors open. And standing outside is like down the hallway is the lady that cleans the room. And I go, is someone in 307? Because I have room and I don't want to open it up. It feels like there's a TV on. And she goes, oh, no, they shouldn't have said it was clear. I haven't made the bed yet. And I go, and she goes, I'm going to call the front desk. She goes, why don't you go down again? And I'm like, I don't want to go down again. So she opens it up and she goes, I'm just going to make the bed. And I go, I'm going to help you make the bed because I'd like you to get out of my room. So I helped the lady from the Hilton make my bed. And we had a nice conversation. She was wonderfully nice. And now I have my room and we're settled.
Hey, just so our listeners know, are you a sheets tucked in guy? Are you a quilt tucked in? No,
I'm not sure what the protocol is at the Hilton, but as uncomfortable, I mean, this is an uncomfortable situation. We're in a hotel room. The door is locked behind us. She wants to get out of here as fast as I want her to get out of here. And so we just laid everything on top and she was very nice and she left. And and so then I was walking across the parking lot to the Smoky Bones and you called and said, hey, Willie would like to record. I walked back, got Uber, and I'm going to sit here and stare at my computer for another hour or two before the basketball game starts and try to work on the story some more. Mark graciously sent me some like points that I'm like, okay, I can work on this. Small victories as we are right now.
I mean, I just that you're there, you're intact.
Yeah.
You have your wallet still.
Yeah.
You haven't lost the rental car keys yet. I mean, these are small victories, but they all lead to a great America. Week. Let's hope it continues. Let's get to the Monday qualifier of the day, the Masters Monday qualifier. This was a big one. The names in the field, Taylor Gooch, Christian Bezuidenhout, Nelly Korda, just kidding. Corrales Punta Cana Monday qualifier. Ryan, Nelly take us through the day.
For sure.
What's up?
Nelly would have got through for sure.
I mean, I don't know. Peter Quest, he might have taken them all down.
Okay, real quickly, we'll cover to the Corrales. As we were on with Willie, I finally got the name of the guy who was a legit PGA Tour member, played 45 PGA Tour starts, used to tell people that he Monday qualified into the Masters. Pre-internet, he was like in the 80s. He would tell people he was in the Masters, and there was no internet to check up and go, hey, is – Steve Thomas, that's his name, in the Masters. And I was like, oh, I'm going to write a story. I need to track down Steve Thomas. You know, it would be an amazing story. Like, why did you tell people that? You know, whatever. Well, it'd take a sad turn because Steve Thomas is in prison for trying to solicit an underage young lady.
Ooh, that's a good dark turn.
Yeah. So the feel-good story, haha, we'll all laugh.
Do you think maybe he was like staying in the same hotel you are and tried to make the bed with the housekeeper?
Probably. And so he used to live in a van. It's a great story until it wasn't a great story anymore.
Of course, he used to live in a van.
Yeah.
Just imagine if Fred Ridley was like a huge Monday Q fan. He took your advice and every bit of work that you do to heart and decided to have a Monday qualifier. What would that look like? Would it be 18 hole free for all? Would you do like a US Open local sectional? What would that look like? Do you think?
I think you'd have to have an invitational, you know, and you just have one spot, you know, 50 men and women. Let's just throw Nelly in there just for, you know, shits and gigs.
Truly open.
Yeah, truly open.
Can you invite anyone.
And like, have at it. And at Augusta Country Club. Like, I don't want it on Augusta. Like, we don't want it. We want it like on a public course down the road or like semi-private. And it's like just 18 holes, the greatest payoff in golf, right? Just like, just don't do anything different outside of you have to limit it or it would be a million, you know, people. So just a invitational, 50 people, have at it, one spot. Imagine a like 6-for-1, 7-for-1 for the freaking Masters.
Oh,
holy shit.
It would be must watch TV. It would be better than the par 3 contest.
It would be some bad shots in that playoff. I mean, there just would be. Like, Mark and I watched live in person Chase Seifert hit one of the worst shots I've ever seen a pro hit in a 16-for-1 playoff at the Honda. So imagine the shots we would see in a Monday Q playoff for the Masters. I mean, you would see some really bad shots.
Well, and it happens every week away from the viewing area, right? Like, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that he did this week, but Willie Mack turned in 5-under today in the qualifier and shot even on the back. I'm sure he hit some pretty bad shots like that. These things happen where you get going early and then you start to imagine yourself in the tournament already. And then the pressure mounts and you hit some pressure does some absolutely crazy things to your golf swing, as most people know and have experienced. And pros are far from immune from that pressure. And let's segue into using that, the Corrales Monday.
All right. I think I'm going to make an executive decision. We're at 44 minutes. We're going to go over it real quick and we're going to save the stories because a couple of these guys have some good stories. We'll save it for the Monday Q review of next week, going a little more in depth about a couple of these guys because there's a couple of good stories. Thomas Longbella, Ryan Solano, Chase Johnson. We'll put a link or I'll tweet it out underneath. Chase did a podcast with us. It was awesome. Really one of my favorite podcasts. He was awesome. He's a good dude and super happy for him. He gets through. And Brandon Berry, who has a master's degree, and talked to him today. And he's like, you know, I kind of had the 2 to 3 day year window. And he's like, man, I'm just playing good golf. And I don't want to put a timeline on it. He said master's degree will always be there to fall back on. I'm going to go try to figure out this pro golf thing. So funny sidebar, I'll send Mark the picture. He can put it in right there. But second stage of Q school last year, or 2 years ago, I think, Brandon Berry, who just Monday qualified, lost control of his push cart and ended up in a pond. And so there's nothing quite like.
These are the deep journalistic dives that you find on the Monday Q Review podcast.
I remembered it.
You won't find that anywhere else.
It's the first thing I said to him when I texted. It's like, man, we've come a long way since the last tweet about you. So,
good. Yeah. Did you mention Ryan Solano?
I did.
Ryan got a text from someone that said Ryan caddied for TJ Vogel, who's one of the great Monday Q players in history. And we need to dig into this story and some of the other things that we were sent about him because they're very interesting. But that's a neat little fact that maybe he witnessed some of the TJ Vogel Monday greatness.
Yeah, I mean, for those that – if you're this far into the Monday Q podcast, I assume you know TJ Vogel's record. But if you didn't, Monday qualified for 8 PGA Tour events in one season. It's unreal. It is truly unreal. Also, Patrick Reed talked about Monday qualifiers in his interview with Dylan DeCher on golf.com. It's a very bizarre but very good interview on golf. You should go check it out. It's very
And I'd like to say, too, if as a thought experiment, if you're 41 minutes or 42 minutes into this thing, well, we could be just talking to ourselves here. We probably are. But if you are, I would like to know about it. Please tweet and add us both. We're going to give you a free subscription, a month subscription to Monday Q. That's a great idea. If you are still listening to this, to reward you
for paying. If you're this far in and not a subscriber, you deserve a free.
You deserve a free one. We're giving it to you. Tweet us. You're in.
Yeah. This is it. Yeah, just tweet us and say, hey, I made it to 41:45. Or, well, there's an interview in there. You made it to like 48 minutes. Just say that and get a free subscription. That's it, Mark. Mark's at home. I'm at the Masters. I'll be there Thursday. No phones. I have anxiety. No phone Saturday. I'm going to write about it, assuming my brain can put some thoughts together. Mark, thanks as always. Good. Willie, thank you. Adam did that interview while laying in the bed Wednesday night before Valero. So that's it. Thanks.
Have fun. Happy Masters Week, everybody.
I will.
Our theme music is composed by Alicia Beats. The song is called Titanium, and it can be found on pixabay.com.